So to start with, what is DNA?
First and foremost, it's the molecule that is in every cell in our body. It's a code in some ways that codes for life. You know, how do we go from being a single cell to the multi-cell, complicated, emotional organism that's a human?
This is Patrick Short, a PhD student at the University of Cambridge and the Wellcome Trust Sanger Institute. We had a chat about the famous double helix, DNA, with help from a couple of props.
Oh, we've got two ukuleles.
Because ukuleles and DNA, believe it or not, have something in common.
Yeah, so there's four bases, A, T, G, and C. So it's like the four strings on the ukulele. You can think of it as A, T, G, and C. And they combine in different orders to code for proteins and also to, as an instruction manual, really to tell the cell what proteins it's supposed to make, when it's supposed to make them. As you can imagine, just like in music, there's a limitless number of combinations, right? We can do A, T, G, C, or we could do A, 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 T, G, C. You know, just like the strings on a ukulele, we can go on and on. Any song you can imagine, you could play. And that's DNA, that's part of what makes it so complex. There's limitless possibilities of how you could fit these letters together. So humans, for instance, we have about 6 billion A's, T's, G's, and C's all in a row. And so just thinking about that number and how many possible ways you could fit A's, T's, G's, and C's together. If you had a 6 billion notes to play on the ukulele, you could have quite a long song. So yeah, so there's a lot of information in there.
So I think that's one of the things that I find it quite hard to get my head around. So you have just these four letters. How does that actually become anything?
Yeah, so the most basic kind of building block of what a cell can do is produce proteins. And on the genetic level, the DNA turns into the proteins using something that we call the triplet code. So it's every three bases of DNA within a gene corresponds to a different amino acid. So you might have A, T, and G together that correspond to one amino acid, and you might have G, C, T that together correspond to another amino acid. And these sequences of three DNA bases string together to become a protein. So we have machinery in our cells called the ribosome that assembles, that takes this DNA and actually assembles proteins out of it. So it's this triplet code that allows us to go from DNA to proteins, and then proteins do stuff in the cell. You know, they move things around, they control what a cell can do and how it can move around and those sorts of things. Yeah, so it's all there somewhere.
So this basic triplet code of three letters can be read by machinery inside the cell, which uses it to build amino acids, which in turn build proteins, which is eventually how we get from A, T, G, C to you and me. You get half of your DNA from your dad and half from your mum, who in turn got it from their parents, which is why it's such a powerful tool for looking at ancestry. But how do you actually look at your DNA?
Essentially, genome sequencing, which has become incredibly fast and cheap in the last decade or so, allows us to take the DNA that's in each of our cells, usually either blood or saliva, and systematically decode what is the order of A, T, G, and C, this whole 6 billion letters in each of us. And the way it works broadly is we take the DNA from the cells, we smash it up into billions of pieces, usually a couple hundred letters at a time. And they're really expensive and quite sophisticated instruments that are used to actually take fluorescently labeled bases and attach them to the DNA. And then a big camera, a high resolution camera, watches the whole process. So basically we get this pretty amazing image that's these letters being incorporated into the DNA. It's sort of like a copying process that we're watching happen. And as these fluorescent letters get incorporated, they're a different color. So A is one color, and G is one color, and C is one color, and T is a fourth. And so these high-resolution cameras pick up this copying process going on and then translate the colors back into the sequence. And then because it's a bunch of really tiny pieces, we then have to kind of assemble them back together into what is our 6 billion letter DNA.
And this technology has raced along at breakneck speeds from where it started.
the number that's frequently assigned is about $1 billion to sequence the first, that's a single person, and it took about 10 years. And today it's less than $1,000, and we're sequencing hundreds and thousands. And this is way faster than almost anyone anticipated. So we think of how quickly computers have gained in speed and also decreased in size. And genome sequencing has outstripped even that exponentially. So I think most people would not have even predicted we'd be close to $1,000 a genome. And some people think it's going to go down to 100 within the next 5 years. So it's quite a dramatic drop that's allowed us to do some amazing research.
As DNA testing gets cheaper and easier in future, we can start to understand more about ourselves. But by and large, exactly what each bit of DNA does is still a bit of a mystery.
So we're not even close to understanding everything, which is exciting because it means there's much more to learn. But it also means, you know, if you're given your genome sequence, it's almost impossible to tell you what that means from the standpoint of your risk for certain diseases. So there's a lot of effort in this area to kind of construct risk factors. You know, given your genetic background, how likely are you to have Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or cardiac arrest or those sorts of things? And we're beginning to understand how the genome turns into risk for these diseases, but we're really actually only just scratching the surface. Yeah.
Patrick Short,